Welcome to the Saint Happy Hour Podcast with host Ralph Malbro and featuring bloggers Andrew Juge of SaintsNation.com, Kevin Held of The Team Drops the Ball, and Dave Cariello of Canal Street Chronicles. This podcast is nothing but serious football talk and hardcore analysis.
Which four of you would survive the longest in the zombie apocalypse?
Jesus Christ, we need a new open, don't we, kids? Die?
Well, Ralph, no offense, you're going first.
Oh, definitely.
No, definitely. The zombies would sugar blood and target him.
They'd get his...
I don't even have a joke, Dave smells like nougat.
Now here's your host, Ralph Malbro.
All right, welcome to Saints Happy Hour Podcast. We are sponsored by JLD Hot Sauces and Knives. Guys, they have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce, Boot Jolica, comes in hot, extra hot, my personal favorite, and Thai flavors. They also have Reaper Madness Special Reserve made with real Reaper pepper from Carolina. And for the brave, you can get the Death Shot, Andrew. It has extract of 10 chilies in each 1 ounce bottle. It'll probably melt your face. JLD also has the highest quality handmade knives you'll find anywhere, including ones for hunting, fishing, and cooking. Go to JLDSharpSauce.com and use the code SAINTS and get 10% off your order today. That's JLDSharpSauce.com. Do them. Jerry is fantastic. All right.
Are we this has nothing to do with the Saints, but are we allowed to get more hot sauce?
Andrew wants more free swag from the sponsor. I will email Jerry.
I want another. So I will tell the listeners that I have a pretty high hot tolerance. Like I like spicy things. I got the hot and it is nuclear.
It is not for the I like things hot. No, it's a man's hot sauce.
Like if you go stronger than hot, make sure that you like being uncomfortable. But hot was very hot, but incredibly flavorful. It's really great. Really good.
I mean, it's a labor of love for Jerry, and we're really cool that he's going to sponsor us for a couple months, and we're hoping it'll be long term. And go there, get 10% off JLD.
Like I know they sponsor us, but like
it's good.
I'd have no problem telling you it wasn't any good if
yeah.
Seriously, it's delicious. It's awesome.
It is. So, Dave, I didn't get to say it on WWL today because they had technical difficulties, and it wasn't my fault that I couldn't do my live shot with Eric Wilson, which is rare. You'd figure with our podcast, with our known issues of audio and whatnot, it would be my fault, but it was not. But I was going to tell Eric that I would have been less surprised about the Saints having the number one rush defense in the NFL. My cat starting to quote Shakespeare and ask me for a McKenzie's milk drop would have been less surprising than the fucking Saints having a brick wall of a run defense. Watching the game yesterday, what was your initial thought? But that, I couldn't get over it. It was like staring at a beautiful painting that I didn't know existed.
Well, I mean, I don't want to toot my own horn or anything, but I mean, last week during predictions, I mean, this kind of all went.
Oh
much
yeah,
how,
here it comes.
How I planned.
Here we go.
I meant to listen back to last week's podcast before we recorded this one, just to see if I can pull some quotable quotes. But I mean, you know, they had the number one rush defense last week this time, and so I said I think that they should have no issue shutting down Saquon. And I said the only way that the Giants were going to win this game is if Eli played out of his mind and if his offensive line helped him do that. And none of that happened.
It did.
And I also I think I set a score of 35-13. So I was pretty close on the score too. So this was just this. They the only frustrating thing to me about this game is just the red zone issues. I mean, this they could have put this game. It took them to the third quarter to really put this game away, but yeah, they could have put this
gonna,
game.
That's going to happen, though, man. I mean, not every game you're going to score at will.
I understand
they
that.
Still,
I
mean, scored 33.
But I think that they could have put, but they could have put this game away even earlier. They honestly could have put it away in the second quarter for sure. But at no point bring this game, even in the first second quarter, even after the Giants drove down and scored on their first drive. At no point did I ever really feel like
when
this game was ever out of control, ever out of hand. And I felt very confident. And that's exactly the way I thought this game was going to go. This is going to be a game. I said last week, finally, we were going to get a game where we weren't going to have to bite all of our fingernails off till the very end of the game. And this was exactly that game. They just played a solid game.
I didn't have excessive drink in this game. I didn't.
They played a solid game, and when your defense plays well, I mean, the big story here is the defensive bad. You know, the pass rush was great, but the finally our DBs.
Whoa! The pass rush.
Not great. No, it was. But I mean, it's.
They got home twice on linebacker blitzes.
Well, okay, but I mean, but the secondary has finally, been playing much better, and I mean, you know, it's good to see them. You know, we're heading in the right direction. We should be concerned if it started off good and got worse. But I mean, you know, the team is growing and it's getting better. And I mean, I think you have to be happy at what we're seeing on a week to week basis. And it makes it a lot easier when your defense plays well. You know, the Saints offense is going to get it done. If they don't get it done in the first quarter, you know, they're going to get it done the second, the third, the fourth. As long as the defense can hold a team to.
That's right.
You know, to 15 points or less or whatever, the Saints are going to win almost every one of those games.
All right. Yeah. I have three quick comments here. My first one is that I was completely wrong. I thought this was the game where the Saints would lay an egg and get blown out. Now, I will say the offense did kind of lay an egg in the first half. They were 1-for-8 on third downs, 0-for-4 in the red zone. Not cashing on that Lattimore turnover was inexcusable. The drops by Ben Watson and the drop by Kamara were awful.
I mean, the drop by Kamara is heartbreaking because...
Yeah, because you wanted the touchdown.
Yeah.
But so you know, the offense did lay an egg. What surprised me was that how well the defense played. You know, there was that first drive where they were throwing opposite Lattimore, as we expected, on pretty much every play, and they went right down the field and scored. And really, it wasn't until the fourth quarter, I think, until the defense gave up another scoring drive after that. So so that was good. The second comment I have is that, you know, it's interesting. We've talked all offseason, like, how are they going to replace Mark Ingram? And they had Terrence West, and they had Vereen, and thought it was going to be Boston Scott, and they had all these different guys.
And then they
called up Dwayne Washington, and they picked up Gillislee. So we thought it was going to be all those guys. And you know how they ended up replacing Mark Ingram? They replaced him by having Zach Line in the game on third downs to help with blocking when they needed protection. And they used Taysom Hill out of the pistol for a run option on short down.
And they gave Kamara 25% more touches.
Zach Line and Taysom Hill. That's how they replaced him.
It's great.
The last thing I was going to say is, you know, Dave was right. And I think, moving forward, I think it's fair to ask ourselves the question, do we have an exceptional run defense?
That was my next question, Andrew. At what point, because obviously, look, they struggled for the most part. They struggled against Tampa. When Tampa got up, they stuffed them. But at that point, we were like, look, it doesn't matter because Tampa was up. Of course, you can stop the run when the team's melting the clock. But Cleveland kept running the ball into a brick wall, even though the Saints showed that they were stopping it. Atlanta bailed out on it early because they have Matt Ryan and all the good receivers, right? But the Giants
kept on doing it.
When do teams, you think, Andrew, go into games and say to themselves, "Yeah, we can't really run on the Saints. We're going to have to chuck it all over the place." Like, when do teams accept that the Saints' run defense is actually good? Like, how many more weeks is it going to take?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. You know, with Alex Smith at quarterback and what I view as not great receivers, I still think the Redskins offense is kind of predicated on running the football. And
with a 120-year-old Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, who's been actually playing pretty well.
He had one good game, let's be real.
Yeah, maybe. But, I mean, you know, one good game is surprising for him at this point. But even when they're not giving him the ball, you know, they've got a couple other decent backs. Chris Thompson's a guy they love to throw the ball to. In fact, he's their leading receiver in catches. So I just think, I mean, you look at the number one pass catcher on the Redskins, it's Thompson with 20 catches. The number two receiver for them is Jordan Reed with 14 catches. So you have to go all the way down to Paul Richardson, their best receiver, with 9 catches.
They paid a lot of money for that dude too, I think.
They did. And you know, they have Jameson Crowder, and Crowder makes me a little nervous because he can stretch the field and he's kind of quick. But, you know, Alex Smith is not kind of a big arm quarterback. And this is kind of a possession offense similar to the Giants, except maybe less explosive with their receivers. So, yeah. I don't think they match up very well with the Saints.
Here, Dave, the only person that seems to want more Taysom Hill than the Saints fans is Sean Payton. Like, it's getting to where, like, I mean, I saw him. He was blocking. They were running it. Like, he's doing everything. Like, what's the next evolution for him? Is he going to slide into, like, one particular role, or you always think it's going to be this hodgepodge Swiss Army knife sort of thing? Or is it going to be more?
Or is he going to slide into your DMs?
Oh, he can slide into my DMs. I won't lie. I love the Taysom Hill show. I love it.
I got to admit, I mean, I cannot believe that he is used as much as he is. I mean, seriously, what percentage of the total offensive plays was he in? Has anybody looked at the snap counts?
Yeah, it wasn't as much as you'd think. It was like 17% of the plays, something like that.
Really? Oh, yeah, that is surprising. No, it certainly felt like a lot.
That's a crazy amount. They played two quarterbacks on 17% of the plays. That's crazy. Right. You know?
But I was really pissed at Kamara. It's hard. You know, only for a moment. It's really hard to stay mad at Alvin, but I was really pissed at him when he dropped that.
Sorry, 21% of plays.
That's a lot, man.
All right, that's 1/4 of the plays. It's a quarter of the plays.
15 plays, 21%.
I mean, that's a quarter of the plays. But I was really pissed when Kamara dropped that pass. It was a beautiful pass. He dropped it in perfectly. It was right where it needed to be. This was really the first game. I'm pretty sure that this was the first game where they let him throw the ball.
Yeah.
On the fake punt and at the goal line. Prior to that, he was only running it. So, you know, right there, you can sort of see the evolution of trust in him.
Yep.
And I've been waiting for him to throw the ball because that's the one Taysom Hill, you know, fake out that they haven't done yet. Here. And so, I mean, but this is the great thing about Taysom Hill and being in the game. And I mean, this was said by, can't remember the guy on 1280 AM, but like, if you've got Taysom Hill and Drew Brees checked into the game, and you've got Taysom Hill, you know, and shotgun or whatever at the goal line, and he's taken the snap. I mean, a defense has to be thinking this could go any number of different ways. I mean, one, he could just throw the ball because he's a decent passer. Two, if you do like a handoff, I mean, if you do a play action, if you started off with a play action, you don't know whether he's going to keep it. You don't know whether he's going to hand it off to the running back. And then if he keeps it, is he going to be the one that's running it or is he going to pass it? I mean, it's just perfect. He's like the perfect decoy. He's more perfect than, you know, we used to talk about this about Reggie Bush. Oh, you put Reggie Bush out there. Remember when all those guys always used to analyze it? Oh, you put Reggie Bush. Oh, now you put him out wide. Now you don't know what he's going to do, you know, blah, blah, blah. But Taysom Hill is even more of a decoy because Reggie Bush was never passing the ball.
It is true. It is true.
Or blocking. He could be a blocker too. He might just be out there to block.
Here, here's a film nerd question, Andrew, for you that I have while I was thinking today when I was driving home. With the Saints having Taysom Hill as the punt protector, and they have him, he's just not like, he's not a thing where they try to sneak him into the game as the punt protector to trick teams. Like, he's the punt protector like every single snap, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that do to the return team when they know that he's the punt protector on every play and he's an actual quarterback that can run a 4-3 or whatever and throw the ball? How does it change teams, the return game for teams?
Yeah, I mean, it's one more thing for the now that Justin Hardy's caught a pass, that's one more thing for the jammers to basically have to prepare for. So not only are they trying to block the guy from going downfield, but they have to make sure he's not running a route. So, you know, it's almost like you have to cover them. So I think it actually makes Thomas Morstead's job a lot easier, because I think if the jammers are basically being covered like the receivers, or that's in the back of the mind of the jammer, then the gunner is able to get downfield and, you know, may face less blocking basically. So I think it makes Thomas Morstead's job a little bit easier. It makes the punt coverage possibilities. I just think, you know, it helps in that way. But then now, like, it's not just he could take – it's not just you can put a spy on him and he might take the snap and you put your fastest special teamer in the box to make sure that he's chasing him sideline to sideline. Like, it's – now it's multiple because he might throw. And the Saints have made it clear they will throw if he doesn't feel like he can get the first down with his feet. So, I mean, man, it's tough to cover. It's awesome. It's amazing that the Saints have this option.
Yeah, and I mean, the thing is, they showed it when they played Atlanta with bad defense. Like, all it takes is when they run that read option for defensive end to come in too hard on the fake handoff to Kamara, and Taysom Hill is going to get the corner, and he's not like a regular quarterback where he's like, oh, he can get the corner and get you 15 yards. Like, if he gets the corner, he'll fucking take it to the house, which, I mean, I feel like Taysom Hill mania, if he does something on Monday night, like, it could become, Dave, like a national thing. I know the Saints aren't quite a national team, but if Taysom Hill goes crazy on Monday night and scores a touchdown some kind of way, like, it could become like a national thing where he starts getting featured on like the Ringer website or CBS Sportsline or Sports Illustrated or other things. Like, it, we're this close to Taysom Hill mania going national, aren't we?
Yeah, you know, I'm sure they'll have a lot of background info on him, ready to use as soon as he does something good.
And the Monday night, by the way, Jason Witten is fucking terrible.
Yeah, I don't like either of these guys. Monday Night Football is really.
Hey,
really
how's our friend Zach Reef doing? Have you been listening at all, Dave?
I listen. I listen because I, you know, you get when you buy the preseason, you get the all 22, but you can go back and listen. I've gone back and listened. He seriously, and I don't say this just because he's a guest on the podcast. Like, he's gotten so much better, and he's not Henderson, but you can't. I refuse to judge him against Jim Henderson, but he's plenty fine enough as a play-by-play guy. He's getting better.
Like, is he delivering on the quality that you would expect out of, like, say, Sean Kelly?
I would say he's when I listen to the Atlanta game again, he's a little bit slow to, in my mind, to sort of process all the information, but I think it just takes reps, man, to get the down and distance, to get the injuries, to get the formation, like, to get it all in. It's just
I mean, he said this on the podcast. You're listening to like seven people in your ear at the same time.
Yeah, it's just like he's to me, he's getting. I listened to that and I listened to a little bit of the first game. Like, he's just a lot. It's a lot better. It's a lot quicker. But he's still a little bit. I think he's still a little bit. He hasn't quite figured out how to jam it all in smoothly, but it's gonna get it. And, like, I've listened. Put it this way: he's done what, 8 Saints games already? I can tell you, he's already better than like other play-by-play guys that I've heard.
Well, that's good. That's great. Awesome.
So Dave, they're 3-1. We'll get to the fun of making fun of Atlanta and the rest of the trash pile in the NFC. But you know, another positive thing.
Boy, that was a great little warm up game before the Saints game to watch.
It was.
What's that?
The Falcons.
Oh yeah.
Their defense is fucking terrible.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Andrew. Do you think the Falcons defense is 2012 level Saints bad?
Watching Tampa get trashed, Jameis Winston coming in the game and throwing a pick, Fitzpatrick getting benched after all that Fitzmagic stuff, and apparently they're going with Winston this week. So, I mean, that was just incredible. We talked about this. You know, if you don't know, here's my plug. If you donate $1, then you get to be a patron, and you can listen to our other shows, like the post-game show. But Ralph and I had a post-game show after the game, and we talked about how funny it was that the Falcons gave up a touchdown pass to John Ross, where he basically pulled his hamstring on the play, running into the end zone with a pulled hamstring, basically limping. And breaks
the
tackle.
It might be my favorite player of the entire NFL season so far.
Falcons player tries to tackle him at the 5 and fails to tackle a pulled hammy receiver, and he still gets into the end zone.
I mean, their defense. Was the 2012 Saints defense the record setter, or the 2015 or 2014?
No, defense? It was Spags. It was Spags. 12.
It was 2012. I mean,
the 15 defense didn't give up as much yardage because there was, you know, Browner had a lot of hidden yards with the penalties.
That's true.
Which don't count towards, you know, yards yielded.
I mean, the only thing that slowed Cincinnati down was Tyler Eifert broke his leg in a hideous fashion.
Oh yeah, that was bad.
And that made Cincinnati not have the tight end to go to, and it slowed them down in the second half. But before that, they were fucking murdering Atlanta in every which way. But back to the Saints, Dave. DeMario Davis at linebacker, he was a guy that the Saints signed, and I was like, that's $18 million for him. That's a lot of money for a linebacker that's bounced around a bunch of teams, and he looked phenomenal yesterday.
Pretty good. Yeah, no, like I said at the start, you know, this team and the defense is definitely getting better each week. And in addition to the secondary, I think DeMario Davis in particular, but the linebackers also in general, they have definitely seemed to get better and better each week as it goes on. But yes, definitely DeMario Davis for sure. He was all over the play. Oh, can we talk about – I loved that Davenport play.
Oh, yes. We need – Davenport.
He beat the guy and made the tackle in the backfield. Ooh, that was a sweet-looking play, boy.
I'm convinced, Andrew, that Davenport is – he's going to be good. But it's just a matter of when,
yeah,
right?
I mean, I'm excited about him. I mean, right now we're getting like – one play a game. I feel like there's one, maybe two times a game where he's flashing. I'm really looking forward to eventually there's going to be a game where he's a left tackle's injured and he goes up against the backup. I want to see a game where he just wrecks someone.
I was just really impressed that he made that tackle in open field and didn't allow the back to him. I feel like there aren't really many players on the Saints defensive line or even linebackers, hell, anybody on the defense that would have made that tackle. I don't know. I was very impressed by that play, and that's exactly the kind of plays. I liked it all right.
I mean,
watch out, Mark Ingram.
I'm you know, I think, Andrew, you know, we compared him to Akeem Hicks, right? He flashed a bunch his first year. But yeah. I think Davenport's flashed more than Hicks. And I think by November, he could be a really, really good third down pass rusher. Maybe that's being overly optimistic, but I think he can, by November, December, he can be a guy that's a very big threat. And, like, I think he's going to end the year with 5 sacks.
He's only going to get better, man. I mean, yeah, that's what you said. I'm just going back to what you said, but that says it all. I mean,
is five sacks too optimistic?
No, I don't think that's. I mean, I think that's spot on. You know, I think he has one now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think, you know, if you were to say that's one after the first quarter of the season, you know, over 16 games, that would be four sacks. I think he's going to ramp it up a little bit as the season goes.
Dave, your boyfriend is back. He is back. So obviously he's going.
He was waiting at the airport for the
like
team
a
arrive.
True Saints fan. He's just like us.
That's awesome, by the way.
That is.
And he had flowers and a big sign.
And he, you know, like what's that movie? Love Actually. They're playing the music. Yeah. He's hugging each player as they come in.
Yeah.
But obviously he's the first play. I think is a screen pass to Ingram against the Redskins. There's no doubt in my mind. But Kamara has been so phenomenal, Dave. Are you just a little bit sad that his carries and touches are going to be reduced?
I'm glad you asked this because I was thinking about this on my way home, actually. I mean, are we just – I'm not sad that about Kamara. I mean, you know, Kamara is going to do Kamara things and he's going to be amazing. I was just wondering, like, is there any concern? Should we be concerned at all about Ingram coming back and just kind of messing with the rhythm and the flow that this offense has gotten? You know, Andrew was saying earlier, you know, they've replaced Ingram with Zach Lyon and Taysom Hill and all that, but you know, it'll be great to have a running back who can really run between the tackles and all that stuff. But at the same time, I mean, this offense has been pretty much getting it done.
Yeah, but I saw
Kamara has been playing out of his mind. I guess my concern is like, is this going to affect Kamara's?
Just watch him in the fourth quarter, Dave. You're going to see angry Ingram in the fourth quarter of this game.
Well, that would be good, and that's definitely
yeah,
what
and
this
here's,
team I
here's,
need.
Here's the thing. I saw two carries against the Giants that Gillislee had, and he runs the ball so afraid of fumbling. Ingram would have had a 20-yard gain on one of the plays that Gillislee got like seven. You know? That's my thought.
All right, well. I mean, I mean, Kamara's gotten into a rhythm, and Kamara has been doing very well, being the number one guy on this offense. And I mean, I think he's a jealous type or anything like that. But it could screw, it could mess up with the rhythm somehow of this offense. I don't know.
Here's the best shot, the best picture I saw all week. You know, Kamara ran in the tunnel and made Giants fans mad because he was like, the game's over, I'm just going to run in the tunnel. What I didn't realize was Michael Thomas went with him, and they have a shot of them in the tunnel, and it is magnificent. And Giants, if you didn't fucking like it, you should have stopped him from running for a 49-yard touchdown, and then you wouldn't have the problem of him running into the tunnel, into the locker room. But, Andrew, the Giants actually, I think they were the first team on the season to employ what I like to call the Michael Thomas is not going to crush our soul today. It might be somebody else, but it's not going to be Michael Thomas. And they employed that defense, and it worked for the most part. Is that a defense that other teams can put in place, or do the Giants have like good personnel because they have physical corners or whatever?
Well, Janoris Jenkins is a good player, first of all, and you know, I think sometimes he just had really good coverage on Michael Thomas, and then sometimes they doubled him, especially in the red zone, to try to take him away. So, you know, I'm still pissed at Ben Watson. Like that should have been a catch, but anyway, you know, it's one of those things where I'm not pissed at him. I'm just, you know, frustrated that was, I'm sure he's more disappointed than I am, and he'll make the catch next time. But I just think, you know, it's a combination of you got to put safety help and you've got to have an exceptional corner. I really think Janoris Jenkins is that. So, you know, they're not going to face a guy every week. I mean, Trufant is a good corner. He couldn't do anything against Thomas. The thing that's tough about Thomas is that the Saints bring him in the slot a lot, and they bring him on these crossing routes. So if you're really – and Janoris Jenkins did this, but, like, if you're really going to stop him and blanket him with your best corner, you have to move your corner over to the slot and take him off the edge. And that makes a lot of teams nervous to bring a top corner away from the outside, because then all of a sudden you've got, you know, Cam Meredith or Traquan Smith out there one-on-one on the outside with a corner that maybe isn't suited to play out there. So, you know, or a slot corner, you know, a 5-9 corner or whatever is suddenly on the outside because they're bringing in, you know, their top corner. So I think that's where it becomes really tough. You've got to make that decision. Am I going to have a guy that follows Mike Thomas around everywhere? And if you do that, I just think it leaves you really exposed. Now, I don't think, especially in the first half, Breeze played really very well. I thought he missed a couple throws, and, you know, give the Giants credit. I thought their defense was pretty solid, but I just think you bring the Saints back into the dome, and, you know, if they're at home and there's no crowd noise, like, there's just no way that's ever going to work. I think if the Giants had played the Saints in New Orleans with no crowd noise, I just think Cam Meredith and Ben Watson would have had a ton of plays in that game.
Yeah. Is Ben Watson in Sean Payton's doghouse now? I mean, this is like the second one.
Seems like he screams at him every week, yeah.
I mean, he, you know, they showed it on the broadcast of Peyton, you know, giving him that evil eye. It's the same evil eye I saw him give Watson after he missed that.
Playoff Josh Hill was available. Playoff Josh Hill was
made a little appearance
Sunday, you know,
yeah, and if came up a little bit, showed out a little bit.
If he's going to catch 3 for 60 every week, I mean, it's not out of the realm of possibility that he starts getting some snaps from Ben Watson, although Josh Hill can't block as well as Watson, right?
Well, Hill, no, he can. Josh Hill's a good blocker, and actually, Hill had more snaps than Watson this past week. If you look at the snap count, Hill had more. So, yeah, I mean, they get to a point here pretty soon where Josh Hill is the starter at tight end, and I think he maybe should be. And look, I mean, I don't do the player grades anymore. My guess is that Watson, it kind of feels like he deserves a C average right now. I mean, he's made some plays. He's been nice. He did have one catch that was phenomenal in that game. So, you know, he's made some good plays. And then I think there's been other plays where he hasn't been so great. And so he's been a mixed bag a little bit. But I still just think Watson is due to have a really good game, and he's still capable of doing that. So I don't think we've seen the best of him yet. I still think he's due to have a game, but, you know, it's funny, like, they have a lot of mouths to feed. I mean, Sean Payton talks about how he wants to get the ball to Traquan. They haven't really done that.
Yeah. Cam Meredith, Sean, you're killing me.
Cam Meredith starting to get involved a little bit. You haven't cut him yet.
No, I paid $15. He's never getting cut. I'll ride that horse till the end.
So, you know, and now you bring Mark Ingram in. You know, they still probably want to keep Taysom Hill involved. Obviously, Kamara and Thomas are always going to get their touches, but it's going to be interesting to watch. I mean, if there's one guy that can figure it out, it's Sean Payton.
Yeah, the interesting thing, Dave, that I was thinking about today, too, is the Saints' defensive line. We talked about the run defense. It's very strange to say, but they're, like, kind of ridiculously deep at defensive tackle. I mean, Tyler Davison came back, Sheldon Rankins, Onyemata. I mean, they're not...
Taylor Stallworth looks pretty darn good.
I mean, and they traded the dude to Cleveland for the 7th-round pick, who everybody loved. Like, this group, Dave, this might be the best group of defensive tackles that they've had since at least 2009, right?
Yeah, well, no shit, Sherlock. I mean, there's a reason why they're number one at defending the run so far. I mean, they're not just doing that. They're not just pulling that out of their ass, just like they're
guys
all of a sudden
off the
not going to...
man.
Yeah, I mean, you know, come on. you know, A equals B or one plus one equals two.
Defensive tackle before. I mean, they remember right. in 2011 they had Obreo Franklin and they had the other fat dude.
So what's surprising here is not that they're so good against the run with these guys. What's so surprising is that they found all these guys and they're on the team at the same time together.
Yeah, but I mean, my point is they've tried this before, Andrew, to invest in defensive tackle, and it just hadn't worked. You know, Sean Rogers was the other fat dude that was terrible.
Yeah.
2011.
No, by the way, no one's
amazing, but everyone's just really solid.
It's a good collection of guys. By the way, it also highlights once again why the Saints should have never paid Nick Fairley.
Yeah, true.
I love that Dave made me piss that money away.
The amount of strippers and blow I could have done with all that money.
You know what made me absolutely sick about that first half? The Saints getting 4 field goals and no touchdowns. It's that it was against B.W. Webb.
I know. I forgot about.
I mean, B.W. I was just like, are you kidding me? Like they can't tool. Guy for 7.
He has a place in my heart though, because the Saints' 2015 win against San Diego, where he intercepted it and wrapped it up, one of the great comebacks in Saints history. He'll always have a warm place in my heart, even though he was terrible. Like that'll be in my memory forever, BW. Andrew, back to the defensive line. Sheldon Rankins is one of those dudes on Saints Twitter. Has a divisive opinion about him because he was a number one pick and he doesn't have a lot of sacks and he doesn't seem to create a lot of pressure, but he's really sturdy against the run. What are you seeing out of him?
Sorry, out of who?
Sheldon Rankins. I feel like people fight about him a lot on Saints Twitter.
Yeah. No, I think a lot of people, the smart people on Twitter really like what they've seen from Rankins. You know, I think a lot of times as a defensive tackle, it's really hard to get a sack because if you're getting initial pressure up the middle, first thing a quarterback is going to do is try to escape the pocket. And usually that redirects into sacks for defensive ends. But that doesn't mean you're not playing well. You know, I think sometimes you'll notice guys like Khalil Mack creating sacks for his defensive tackles. You know, because if you get a ton of edge pressure and the quarterback steps up into the pocket, then sometimes you'll see. And Tyler Davidson's sack was an example of that in this game where the defensive tackle kind of gets a garbage sack because there was initial pressure for Cam Jordan. So like that, it's kind of that's how it works. And I think that's kind of what's going on a little bit with Rankins right now is that his first of all, he's playing his run gaps really well. You know, really since that first drive against the Bucks, where I thought the run gap assignments, they just were really poor. It's been fixed ever since. So give him credit there. I think he's doing a good job. I mean, he just seems strong at the point of attack. So I don't know if that's work in the weight room, but he's always been a little undersized and criticized for his run stopping ability. But he looks strong and stout to me. And I think his initial pressure has been good. I mean, it's kind of unlucky that he hasn't really had the sacks to show for it, but I think he'll get some here pretty soon. But he's playing well. He looks good.
All right, now it's time for the Saints Hot Take of the Week. Saints Happy Hour. The Saints Hot Take of the Week is sponsored by JLD. Hot sauces and knives, guys. They have the best hot sauce. Their award-winning hot sauce. Boot Jolica comes in hot, extra hot, my personal favorite, Thai flavors. Go to JLD Hot Sauce, JLDSharpHotSauce.com, and use the code SAINTS and get 10% off your order. That's JLDSharpSauce.com. Andrew, the hot take of the week is me and you and Dave. We're going to argue about going for two when you're up 15. Me and you argued the entire third quarter, which proves my point that it didn't fucking matter if we're just arguing about a two-point conversion instead of actually watching the game. Your argument is basically the Saints went up and they kicked the extra point to go up 16, and your argument was they should have gone for two and be up 17, because then if you're up 17, you're up 3 scores. Instead of 16, you're up 2 scores. Explain yourself.
Yeah, I mean, I just felt like at that point in the game, you basically have a choice. You go up 16, or you go for two, and you make it, you're up 17. You miss it, you're up 15. So really, the options here are 15, 16, or 17. Okay.
This is what? This is the third quarter we're talking about?
Yeah.
Approaching the fourth, though. I mean,
late.
It was a score to make it 25-10. Andrew's saying Saints should have gone to two for two to make it 27.
Yeah. My point here is at that stage of the game, the Giants may not see the ball again three times. They may not get three more possessions. So if you go for two and you make it, the game is ostensibly over. Now, I said that and I was mad on Twitter. I was like, how could you not go for two there? And, you know, a lot of people on Twitter are saying, oh, but it's so hard to go score two touchdowns and go for two twice. Well, you know what? They scored once and they scored that two-pointer pretty darn easy. And dude was wide open. So, and that made it an eight-point game. And so, I mean, you know, then Kamara ripped that long run and it was fine. But, like, I was nervous there because the Saints were up eight and it was a one possession game. And
Ted Ginn had the kickoff bounce off his face.
Yeah, like it. Well, man, well, I'm sure we'll get to that. But I just felt like the Giants were still in the game because of that decision. And yes, it would have forced them to go for two twice and convert. But I just feel like at 15, they still have to go for two once at least. And if you miss, and if you make it, you're basically putting the game away. And I just think on the road, like, you go for the kill.
Dave, your thoughts?
I think the difference here between me and Andrew, and I mean, Andrew is certainly correct. You can't argue the math on this. You know, that would be silly. I think the only thing you can argue is the emotion that comes into play with this. And I think Andrew's key word that he said was he was nervous, and that's the difference. I never felt like the Saints had this game out of hand. I never felt like the Giants were going to come back. It just seemed, and I'm assuming this is kind of how Peyton felt at the time, but I think it was just a routine extra point because they really weren't even thinking about the possibility of the Giants coming back because they felt like the game was well within hand at that point, late in the third, early in the fourth. And just the way the whole game was going and the way they were playing and the way the Giants were playing.
But you can't go based on – I mean, you've got to still be mathematical about your decisions there.
You're probably right. And also, using my argument and saying, hey, we're not even worried about the Giants coming back, then that gives you more reason to say, you know what, screw it. Let's go for two just for the hell of it. We got nothing to lose.
If we don't get
that one extra point, if we lose out on all of the extra points, it doesn't matter because we think we're going to beat the Giants anyway.
I think the reason why Sean Payton, if you asked him why he didn't go for two, because if you're up 16, Andrew – in that point of the game, late third quarter, there is zero chance that the Giants can beat you. If you go for two and miss, and you're only up 15, they could score, go for two, score late, go for two again, and beat you like the Raiders did to open the season 2015. Now, I don't think – I'm like Dave. I didn't think that was going to happen. I never – once it got to be 19-7, I never thought for a second the game was in doubt.
You really think they would go for two and not just kick and send it to overtime?
But the thing is, you open that possibility. If you're up 26-10, there's zero chance of that happening. You know, the more I think about it, I lean towards your theory of you get a free chance to wrap up the game.
I think it's
why not take it?
I think it's a math thing. Like, I really just think, like, when you look at how much time's left, you got to be thinking, what are the odds they're going to get the ball three times? Like, based on the amount of time that's left in this game. And if the odds are they're probably not going to get the ball three times, then go for two because the game is over.
I'm for the Saints going for two more just because I think you put Taysom Hill in the game with Kamara. Like, I think that play is almost unstoppable. Like, because it doesn't matter if they have the right angle. Kamara can get to the fucking corner anyway, you know?
Now, I wonder, you know, if it had been the Falcons and, you know, how successful the Saints were moving the ball against them. I mean, I wonder if I wonder if that played into it, that they felt like the Giants were doing a good job in the red zone. And you know, basically their tight package, you know, their short yardage package was giving the Saints problems.
That's true. All right. We got some questions on the Twitters, people. And by the way, Andrew mentioned it before. Donate, become a patron. You get extra shows. We give you 2 extra shows a week, sometimes 3. We give you 2 during the week, and we usually give you the pregame and a postgame usually. So you can have up to 4 extra shows a week, and it's only $1. Or you can donate $3.28 and get a magnet. $12, get a T-shirt. $25, you could be
The Saints are 2-0, by the way, when I wear the podcast T-shirt.
Yes. See, the podcast T-shirt is magical. All you have to do is donate for 7 months, $12. You get a free T-shirt, and you can wear it and impress all your friends. So we have questions. Dave, this is a great question. I wrote it. I remember it, but I don't know who sent it, but it's fantastic. What amazing feat is Taysom Hill going to do next? Is he going to deliver a baby during the Redskin game? Is he going to pilot the Saints' flight safely when the pilot has a heart attack?
Which he's going to heal Mike Westhoff's limp.
Yes. Which 3 of those things is he going to do?
That's the one he's going to do. He's going to cure Mike Westhoff's whatever, his bum leg.
He's just going to lay he's going to lay hands on him after running back a kickoff.
Yeah.
All right.
He's going to turn his cane into a lollipop.
Oh. All right. I got to pull up the questions. You're making me laugh too hard. We'll get to the Redskins prediction in a minute. Who's going to be the first guy to buy Taysom Hill's jersey of the 3 of you?
Me, probably.
I don't know. I don't know. I feel like all 3 of us are riding this hard.
I mean,
I honestly don't know who's having the most fun. I mean, Ralph, you can vouch for my texts a couple weeks ago.
It is. I mean, I love Taysom Hill because, one, he's already given me 2 columns, one in the preseason, one last week. Plus, he gives me tons of jokes. Plus, Eric Paulson and me have an equal man crush on Taysom Hill, so that's fun to talk about. The Taysom Hill experience is just – it's phenomenal. The thing is, I worry about buying the jersey because what's his contract status? Like, I hate to invest in the jersey and then have him leave or something. Like, that worries me.
I think he's got 1 more year and then he's a restricted free agent or something.
Yeah, I think he could be – I think he's a guy that he might stay with the Saints for a while because, like where else is
Do you think? Do you think doing all this – has earned him a chance to actually be the actual heir to Drew Brees?
No, absolutely not.
Not with Bridgewater.
I think what I do think is that we could have a scenario in the future where the Saints have a 2 quarterback system.
Oh, that sounds awful. Please tell
me that sounds amazing.
I think that sounds awesome.
Oh.
I mean, you could do it 70-30.
I mean, they kind of do now, right?
What's the saying? If you've got 2 quarterbacks, you've got no quarterbacks?
No, but
you could get
Taysom Hill to 35% of the plays and Bridgewater to 65%, and you could have some fucking fun there, man.
I mean, they just did it. They just did it against the Giants. That was a 2 quarterback system, Dave.
That was not a 2 quarter.
He threw 2 passes, and he took, like, how many snaps out of the shotgun in the run option?
I know that, but I'm talking about a true 2 quarterback system is where you've got 2 quarterbacks under center 50% of the time.
Let me rephrase. I think there is a future where Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback, and Taysom Hill continues to have this annex role, where he's. And maybe he's, instead of 21% of the snaps, maybe he's in on 37% of the snaps. I don't know.
That's a lot of snaps, though. 37% is a lot of snaps.
Yeah.
This is a good question from Eric. Last month's patron spotlight winner. We'll have another winner in October. If you donate $5 a month, you can be a patron spotlight winner and get interviewed by me and have your own little podcast. This is from him. Who's the opponent, Andrew, to bottle up all our weapons only to get hit in the face with a Zach Line triple touchdown game?
What do I have to do? Pick an opponent?
Yeah, I think it's Dallas. It's like Mike Carney.
I was just about to ask, do they play the Cowboys this
year?
They
do. On a Thursday night.
I mean, you know Sean Payton saving the Mike Carney special for them. another friend of the podcast.
This is from Chris, Dave. Will a Kamara Taysom Hill co-MVP award be yet another media snub to Breeze as the true GOAT?
Wait.
I think he wants you to repeat yourself, Dave.
Oh. Will the Kamara Taysom Hill co-MVP award be yet another media snub to Breeze as the true GOAT?
No, because the media is obviously still paying attention to the Saints. Honestly, I think you could make a case for probably not Breeze. Breeze probably hasn't done enough yet, but Kamara, certainly you could make a case for being MVP.
I mean, look. Taysom Hill is not going
to win. He's looking pedestrian tonight.
Yeah, he is. So Kamara's moving up the chain. But look, Taysom Hill is not going to win NFL MVP. But as a bet, if the Saints happen, God willing, to make the Super Bowl, Taysom Hill is a tasty fucking bet to be Super Bowl MVP. Like, that. You could probably get odds of like plus 500, plus 600 for that. That is a real fucking thing that could happen. I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility, Andrew, that he would run a kickoff back, block a punt, or score a touchdown and be Super Bowl MVP. Like, that is a real thing that I would wager money on if the Saints are in the Super Bowl.
I like it.
All right. Dylan asks, should the Saints kick the tires on Keenan Lewis or Junior Gallette? Dylan, I know you're a patron.
you're just trolling. He's just trolling. Please tell me he's just trolling.
He's not trolling, but I'm telling you, Dylan, people, if you want to know if Keenan Lewis or Junior Gallette are serious options the Saints should consider, you should become a patron, and that way you can listen to Message Board Wednesday. And Message Board Wednesday has all your hot message board ideas and trades and Saints additions to the roster, like should they bring back Keenan Lewis? But you got to be a patron to get that information.
Yeah, I'll take Boudreaux. We'll give you some.
Yes, it will.
Serious.
How long until Ralph gets fired from WWL for cursing on live TV? I don't have too much problem. I'm not going to curse on Channel 4 because, Eric, it's really early in the morning. And I don't get that excited. I worry more about cursing when I go on like radio shows that I'm friendly with, like Scott Prather and Lafayette or other people. But Scott's so nice enough, because me and him goof off so much, that he pre-tapes it. So even if I drop an F-bomb, he just dubs it out. But I'm not really worried about cursing with Eric. Although, if the Saints like get their soul ripped out and I'm still hungover, I'd say it's like a 30% chance, Jacob. Only 30%. So, all right, guys, let's get to the Washington Redskins game Monday night. Dave, Drew Brees is 218 yards away from becoming the NFL's all-time passing yardage leader. The Saints are a 6.5-point favorite. Who do you got?
Ooh, that's a lot of points.
It's a lot of points. I was surprised. I was surprised that line was that high.
I don't think it's going to be a cakewalk for the Saints by any means. I think the Redskins certainly – they're a worthy opponent, and I think they're coming off a bye this week, huh? They had an early bye.
He certainly did. So
they've got a bye this week, and then they've got the long week, and so they've got plenty of time to rest up and get healthy and game plan. I think defensively, I think for the Redskins, I don't see the Saints offense like totally blowing it out of the water. I do see Drew getting his record, of course. I think as long as the Saints get an early start, get ahead early, either take the kickoff and run and get a touchdown on the first drive or make a big three and out on the first defensive series, just to keep the crowd in it. But I think if the Saints get up early, I think on a night, especially with the whole Drew Brees stuff, I don't see the Saints losing. But, you know, that's not to say, you know, if the opposite happens and they get down early, you know, this is certainly a game that they could lose. It wouldn't surprise me in the least. I'm going to say Saints win, and I'm going to say, everything falls right for the evening, and I'm going to say Saints 27, Redskins 20, but there'll be like a garbage touchdown at the end of the game for the Redskins. It won't really be that close for most of the night. You know, you got to give the MVP to Drew for breaking the record.
I got to barbecue your ass in molasses.
So, Andrew, who you got?
Yeah, so I picked the Saints to get rocked this week, and
yeah, you did.
It kind of worked nicely. So I'm nervous to pick a win. Should I pick them to get crushed again?
You should ride the L train until the Saints buck you.
Yeah, I mean, opposite. I feel like I should do that. I mean, I really think the Saints are going to win this. I feel like they're getting better every week. I feel like defensively they've figured it out a little bit, and I just think the dome is going to be so hype for this Brees record, and I think the fans are starting to feel a little bit better about the team, and 4-1 is in play here. And again, I just don't think the Redskins match up that well. I just think their style of offense, if anything, the Saints have had a lot of problems with number two receivers and big time quarterbacks. So, I mean, Alex Smith presents different problems, but
Saints fans have PSD from 2011 against Alex Smith. I saw people saying, "Oh, Alex Smith, he kills the Saints, man." And I'm like, "Dude, they killed him in 2007.
Alex
he
Smith
barely
has been
beat him in
2015.
It's just PTSD from 2011."
Yeah, I mean, Alex Smith has been a little bit quiet this year. The Redskins, you know, they're 2-1, so they've looked okay, but you know, offensively, they've just been kind of average. Defensively, they've been kind of average. Actually, defensively, I'm sorry, they've been really good on that side of the ball. So, but they'll be in the dome, and I just don't see the Redskins shutting down the Saints. So, I don't think their pass rush is good enough. They do have some good corners, but I think Josh Norman's banged up a little bit. So, I think the Saints win this one big, guys. I think it's going to be 38-17 Saints.
Ooh, yeah. Who's MVP?
I mean, you got to give it to Drew on his big night. So I'll say 30-17, 5 touchdown passes to Drew.
I was thinking going into last
week. Mark Ingram scores on a screen pass, and Ben Watson scores his first touchdown.
I said last week I thought that Saints would roll the Giants, and the Washington game was the game that scared me because it's just like the Saints that Drew Brees is going to get the record, and now this, we're all hyped, and then they drop a clunker. But they didn't play that great against the Giants, even though they won. So I just feel like this is going to be one of them prime time Sean Payton special. The Saints are going to beat the Redskins down and say to America, "Hey, America, the NFC ain't just about the fucking Rams." And I'm going to say Saints 41, Redskins 20, and that 20 is going to be a lot of garbage late. I just think this is one of those moments where the Saints are going to put it to Washington, and you know, it's just going to be one of those games where Washington's going to have a couple of screw ups, and the Saints offense is going to be rolling, and you know, it's just going to get out of hand fast, and it's going to be a party, and Drew Brees is going to break the record, and we're going to feel fucking phenomenal on Tuesday morning. So that's my prediction. So that wraps it up for today. Be a patron. It's phenomenal. So for Dave, for Andrew, I'm Ralph. Until next week, the bar is closed.